Riley's header suddenly gives Kyogo a chance. What a fabulous finish. His old firm scoring spree continues. And how about the timing as well to really hurt Rangers in first half stoppage time?
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
That's absolutely dreadful.
I've come to talk with you again.
Football's meant to be an entertainment.
Because a vision softly creeping.
Barry, the cheerleader Ferguson.
Left its seeds while I was sleeping.
Hugely disappointing result.
And the vision.
It's been a rough week.
That was planted in my brain.
Really disappointed.
It's been a rough week.
Still remains.
The manager's got to resign.
It's been a rough week.
Really disappointed.
When was the last time Barry seen an entertainment game at Rangers?
In restless dreams I walked alone.
They'll always suggest that if you stop a player's forward motion,
narrow streets of cobblestone,
then it's a foul.
Neath the halo of a street lamp,
I disagree with that.
I turn my collar to the cold and damp.
And whether a law is there or not,
when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light,
I don't think that
split the night
should have been given a foul.
Well, you're a cheerleader, Barry.
Who's going to win it? The Celtics. Because there's no other reason why. The Celtics are the balls.
Hello and welcome to The Cynic Weekly. I am your stand-in host this week, Barry Gallagher. And as always, I'm joined by the regulars, Alan Edgar. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. Still buzzing from the weekend, I guess.
Absolutely. Cannot wait to keep the party going.
Always. Samani, welcome.
Yep. I know you're the stand-in host, but we've established over the last few weeks I get introduced first. not that it bothers me, but but I'm good, mate. I'm good. Buzzing from the weekend. Taking a wee dip in the last 30 seconds, but no, cheers.
Ideal. Aye, so obviously tonight will be heavily focused on the magnificent day that was Sunday, and obviously the glorious fallout from it that seems to be spiralling as only it would with another week or so before Celtic play again. So, ideal. So, as I say, the game is going to be our main focus. So, Alan, how are you feeling, what, 5 days, 4 days out from Sunday?
Contented, I think. Reassured. Maybe a wee dose of, I don't know, reality. As well, in terms of, I think, I can only speak for myself, but I felt like I was a bit of a low ebb going into the game. I've never felt less confident, I think, going to Ibrox, which clearly in hindsight was miles off it, and I'm delighted that that was the case. So I think it's nice to just bring myself back down a wee bit. I think I was flattened a lot, like a lot of people, so just really pleased. It makes the international break a wee bit more palatable as well. I can't imagine how you'd feel if you weren't in a position going into it, but I think just nice and relaxed. I think it's maybe just given us a wee bit of reassurance that there's a base level, and hopefully there's more to come, because I think there was some really, really encouraging signs and a lot of real positives from the game. Still a long way to go, and I liked that the manager kind of said that right after. So I think contented, reassured would be kind of my adjectives, as well as sheer joy on Sunday, but maybe break it down a wee bit more.
Definitely, I'm much the same. I think we were all kind of feeling the same across the cynic and the wider support, that just with the injuries we've had, maybe the sort of disappointing end to the transfer window, because I think we expected a hell of a lot more action on the Friday. And obviously when the team came out, we'll maybe come to that. But much like you, and I think it's been said on many pods, that we were really looking for something to cling on to, whether that was from the manager or the team, and I think they both delivered. It's good to know that, yeah, Rodgers has still got the magic. And that's maybe something we'll speak about more as well, because my sort of abiding image of the last 4 days or so is Rodgers with the fist pumping out the Range Rover with the shades on and the teeth. He's back, baby, and I love it. So, Manny, what's your kind of feelings now after the game? I know you did the reaction and the coverage on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, doing the immediate reaction, you've all done them before, it's different, you know. Once you give it time to settle, I think starting at that point, the adrenaline was still pumping, you know, and you know, that last 20 minutes was particularly difficult to watch. But much the same as Alan, you know, you're just kind of, there's a smug contentedness about you, because the international break, this isn't the first time that, you know, the international breaks came after a fixture against them, and it's really important to go into that with a win, because it just allows you to, you know, put up with Scotland games and things like that. And it also, even more importantly this time, it gives us a bit more time to work with some of the players that have just come in. There's a few of them obviously away on the international break. It allows, you know, those that are injured maybe to either be first team ready or get closer to that. So there was so much riding in that result in terms of that and in terms of the manager, because if we're being perfectly honest, whatever way the result went, you know, the manager who lost was going to be getting absolute dog's abuse. But it's easy to forget that a week before there was, you know, people were kind of pointing the finger and shouting at Brendan Rodgers given what had happened. But what a turnaround, and it's as important for us, it's as important for him as a manager as it is for us, I think, because of what happened before. I think I'd said it, if it doesn't go well pretty quickly, it could get nasty. It would have been pretty nasty if we hadn't done it.
Definitely.
But you have to give him credit. He had a significant role in the way that we set up and the way that we played. He's a guy who wins big games like that, and he did it again, even with things against us, injuries, not getting who we want in the transfer window. So if you've seen that on Twitter earlier on, you know, the barometer in terms of... It's all Brendan in the WhatsApp chats just now, so long may it continue.
I think, just before I bring you in, Alan, I think that's a real good point about how important it was for Brendan. There we go.
Brendan.
Himself, because if there wasn't maybe buy-in from the players, for whatever reason, those who are maybe sort of loyal to Ange or whatever, I think getting a big result like that, in the manner that we did with the injuries that we had, it's a real shot in the arm, and probably a sort of good marker for him to lay down to not only the players but also the coaching staff and say, well, if you stick with me, this is what I do. This is kind of, because he did mention that in the lead up to the game. He was saying, like, I'm kind of here to win, and my record everywhere I've been is kind of proving that. So, yeah, I think it's a good sort of, that he can hold that up and say, right, this is where we go from here on the back of that.
I think that's really important. And I think that's, even if you're a top class manager, there's always you, much like a new player or a proven player going in somewhere, you still need to show that it works in that particular environment. And I think it is important. See, the earlier that you can get that message, and if you can get it in circumstances like that, really trying circumstances like that. See, as a coach or as a manager, or it's a great thing to point to, because you can say, look, even with the circumstances, and obviously you have to be careful about how you couch that, because you don't want to be sitting saying to the group of players that you've just picked, even with this lot, I still managed to go and win. But there is a wee bit of that, that you then can, it's good that you're not going there and you've not, even, you know, the idea that you've went there without using a couple of the new signings, without, it's nice, because then these are all things that you can add in at a later date that might be able to kick on. Because I think the one thing we'd all agree is that that on Sunday is still a mile away from where we want to be. Yeah. And I just liked that phrase you used, Samani, about smugness. I think that, you know, feeds into that idea of being content, etc. I really like that notion that we can agree that that wasn't great on Sunday and that it was rubbish. And maybe even, you know, I know pundits saying things like, it wasn't a great game and it was terrible to watch. See, when you win, you can agree with all that and still go, aye, but we still won. Because that's really important, because see, if you play in a game like that and you lose, especially at home with all the fans, but, you know, let's just focus on the quality of the game. If you lose that, then I think it leaves you a wee bit bereft. Whereas for us, we can go, we can point to all of these things that were against us in terms of personnel, in terms of the start we've had, and you can go, but you still went to what is going to be your toughest domestic fixture, and you dug out a win with one real bit of quality. And I think that gives you so much to play with, I think, between now and, you know, the end of the season.
Yeah. And you mentioned it, Alan, but I think it was important for the manager to acknowledge that afterwards as well. And I think it's important for the support too, because it's dead easy to go from, you know, 0 to 100, you know, when you get a result for that, and then you go right back down if something goes against us. There is a middle ground here. That's not where we want to be. That doesn't change everything. It changes a lot, and it gives us a shot in the arm. it's a platform now to kind of go forward. We've got more hurdles to come. We've got the Champions League. But as you say, we've got players to come back. Big players, you know, Carter Vickers, Hitati. You know, we've got the new guys coming in too. There is, we've got a platform. And the good thing about it is there's so much that we can put on top of that. It gives you that kind of bit of perspective about, you know, the trajectory should be up the way from here. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. And that adds into the smugness, you know. Yeah.
Definitely does. And I think the point that you made, Alan, as well, about how we never sort of resisted the temptation to throw some of the new guys in. And I think that's a bit of a gamble because obviously it could be a baptism of fire, and if it doesn't go well, he would receive criticism for that because they hadn't trained much. But I think it kind of shows another side to his management. Obviously, we know how good he is tactically. But having that to sort of protect those players, and as you say, the base now that we have to bring them in more favourable circumstances will really suit us going forward.
Yeah.
In terms of the sort of key highlights then, I don't know if you've both seen the footage that Celtic, I think the footage that Celtic have put out this week's been exceptional. And I kind of feel it's, they've kind of had to do it, I think, because it's the first time in what seems like forever that we've not had any fans there. Well, the high profile that we've won, we've not had any fans there. But just the Kyogo goal you mentioned at Samani, what a sensational strike. And it's one of those goals, I think, for years you'll be watching, see me come home drunk for the pub, people just put that on. I think, see that song that they sing about, he's James Tavernier, I heard that about a thousand times yesterday.
I genuinely can't get out of my head.
It's just when it stops and the drum stops. But just talk us through the goal, Samani, and your thoughts on it.
The finish is incredible. Obviously, it comes from a by kick, so just get it long. That's the lesson that I take from this. We're all moaning and talking about building from the back and Joe Hart. Hoof it up, especially to Conor Goldson. So the header's really poor. Obviously, Matt O'Reilly kind of knocks it back. Very clever. You know, we're all waiting for the replay, I'd imagine, to see if he was onside. Clearly was after we seen that. The thing about the finish, though, is top quality strikers don't think about what they're doing.
Yeah.
He doesn't, you know, everybody would have been looking at that and saying, take a touch, take your time, pick your spot. But when you're that good, you just do what he did. I mean, and it was ridiculous to hit that half volley there. I mean, Butland couldn't get settled. And in terms of their signings, I think Butland's been good for them. He's so we're not talking like a diddy goalkeeper here. I think he's been good. But he had no chance. He couldn't set himself. He wasn't in the equation, just because Kyogo, he's that good. And he didn't think about it. It was instinctive. He executed it perfectly. He'll miss easier chances. He probably missed easier chances in the game. But that's the phrase you used, Alan, moment of quality. That's exactly what it was. In a game that anybody can analyse to death and talk about how good, bad or indifferent that is, that moment of quality in that game wouldn't have been out of place in any league for any team.
Definitely. Alan, you much the same, I guess.
Yeah, and just echoing he'd had the chance 15 minutes, about two chances actually, beforehand. So I think we were all thinking exactly what you said, that take a touch, take it in and be decisive. And before I was about to moan when I, you know, kind of seen him swinging a leg at it, you're thinking it's in the net. And I think what's really clever about it is he takes away the one thing that the goalkeeper might have in that, and it's the ability to maybe put the onus on him that you'll have to almost do something special to score.
Yeah.
And he does, but he does it right off the bat, and it's superb. It's, as you say, it's one of those goals I think that will be, I don't think it's going to quite be Andy Thom level.
It's right up there.
But it's going to be right up there in 10, 15 years, or just one of those goals. Even the celebration, even Kyogo, you can tell he's a bit miffed almost with the no crowd, because as a striker, he's just so instinctively used to hearing that roar, and he loves celebrating. Like, he genuinely is a player that loves celebrating goals. So everything about it is just great. And as you say, I thought the Celtics, that 2.5 minute video or whatever it was incredible. It's like we rejected the 700 tickets for fans, and we just took 700 tickets and said, here's GoPros for 700 media officers. Film this from every... How many Celtic media guys were undercover in Ibrox? I'm assuming they didn't have Celtic TV or Celtic media on the back of their bibs. But, I mean, I was delighted for it, because 2 minutes 40 seconds of watching the same goal over and over again, and genuinely, I mean, I would watch it again. I would watch it again. I'll probably watch it when I go in. I just love, as you say, that repetition of that song, the drum, and then just the noise. I love a goal when you get a noise when it hits the net. It just gives it so much.
Yeah, sort of reminiscent of the noise. Remember Callum McGregor scored one at Hampden when it hits that noise. Lovely noise.
Just on that as well, with the crowd, not that I'm going to open up the ticket argument, right? But the situation as it stands, that, and I think we'd said that before, I think we said it last Thursday, or maybe we didn't, I can't remember. A week ago is a long time. It's that can go for you. The first, you know, the roar of the crowd, the atmosphere, they had the ball in the net, clearly offside very early. That's something that's been part of their repertoire for some time. I don't like that. But if it doesn't happen quickly, you know, the crowd really start to get insular and they started to get on their back. And you could see that in the second half where they kind of looked quite, they didn't have much of a kind of potency and attacked at all, and that was really evident. But then the crowd weighing on top of them then I think probably made that similar, probably at the week before against St Johnstone, you know. We looked totally unable, we looked as if we weren't going to score at any point, and the crowd, you could tell that we were saying this is entirely, you know, the frustration coming in on it, that times two or three I would say is what kind of happened on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you could, it was almost kind of alluded to, wasn't it, in the commentary with Kenny Miller and Chris Sutton, and you can start to hear the groans from the crowd, and probably been saying that a whole life, so if you can silence them for the first 15, 20 minutes, then you start to hear the groans, and even more so, as you say, it plays right into our hands. I think the way that we were playing, and the way that they were set up, allowing Callum McGregor so much of the ball, it was only going to go one way in terms of the crowd on their backs. But I think, just on that, the fact that we were able to sort of build into the game as well, do you think it was more our tactics, or do you think it was a combination of how they set up as well, Alan?
I think, and I think we said this on Monday, I think you guys kind of touched on it as well in the reaction, which I thought was excellent and loved listening to that with a couple of beers at the time. I think what Brendan Rodgers did really, really well was, I think he used the full context of the fixture. He used the way they play against them. Rangers under Steven Gerrard and now under Michael Beale, I think they like it when teams are aggressive and really try and go at them. And when they try and go at them in a kind of haphazard, almost very aggressive way, because I think they know that they don't then really need to work as hard to get those second balls, to get the balls into the spaces, because the game's a bit more chaotic. I think what Celtic, and the one thing that stood out, and if it stands out to eyes like ours, then I think it's quite clear. I think the shape was just so disciplined. I thought what I found frustrating the week before was actually, I think, what gives a platform to win this game. Mm. The discipline and players making sure that they didn't get caught out, that they built properly, that they built in a way that allowed, that everyone knew where the ball was going. And then it doesn't take away that ability to do special things. We just didn't have necessarily that ability to do special things, with the exception of obviously Kyogo's moment of quality and a couple others. I think there was real discipline. I think AJ at right back, it was quite clear, I think, that he was told, either because of the speed of Matondo, who's obviously been a bit of a threat for them, or because of his own fitness, or maybe a combination of both, was told to just tuck in and almost play basically a Mika Lustig role, whereas Greg Taylor played his role. Callum McGregor, I thought, was exceptional and was crucial to allowing everybody just to breathe and settle. I found myself, just watching the game at the time, I was so frantic going into it, genuinely so frantic about how bad it could be, that I actually found myself at 20 minutes not wanting to say to the people I was watching it with, we've actually started well here, because I didn't want to say that and then something happened. But when they scored the goal, I did look and think there might be a foul there, but I thought Ibrox should never get in that. I thought that's exactly what they're waiting for, because now they don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
But because that got taken away from them, rightly, it then meant the onus was on them. And I really do think fundamentally Rangers struggle when there is that onus on them to unpick a team and not get something from nothing. The one thing we can't do, any team, European teams, whatever, can't do against Rangers is give them something for nothing, because when they get something, it then makes them, they can almost go into their kind of, you know, that tortoise formation. Just protect, protect, protect. You don't need to do anything. Yeah. But they didn't get that, and we scored a wonderful goal, the real moment of quality in the game. That's it. And I think, so that's why I think the tactics that we found frustrating the week before, I think they worked perfectly at Ibrox. And you did have that ability, that bit of quality up top. And I think that's reassuring. I think that feeds into that kind of general emotion of just being a wee bit calmer now.
Mm. See, just totally agree with what you were saying about how you were watching it, because I was kind of messaging a pal and he was a bit panicky. And normally, if I'm the calm influence, you know that there's something right. But it was almost like a feeling of sedation, I thought, like watching, because you were so ramped up. And I even think before the game, because we were so sort of despondent going into it, I didn't have the usual nerves because I was just expecting
the worst. We were texting each other right before, and I said, that you were saying this is so weird, and I said, just felt numb.
Yeah.
Like, so, because almost I felt resigned. Just.
Yeah. And see, just on that, Samana, the sort of tactical aspect, does that give you some encouragement for a sort of a blueprint, as it were, a green print, will we say, of how we might line up away from home in Europe?
I'll be honest, I haven't really kind of thought about that. What the only thing I would take from that is that was a Rodgers performance, if you know what I mean by that, which I don't think we've seen before. And it's almost like people were complaining up until now about the transition from Ange to Rodgers and that he's not put his style on it. We had a lot of people saying to me, why doesn't he just do what we're doing well and can kind of continue them to do that? What that showed is, I think, though, was his imprint was on the game. Now, was it complete? No. But when the way that we played and the way that we you know, we set up and kind of attacked the game, it just was Brendan Rodgers, you know. It was his side, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So he needs to continue to do that, kind of develop that, get the players kind of ingrained in that system, kind of that shape. Alan's right to talk about the discipline. You know, that discipline's going to be crucial if we're going to do anything in Europe against the sides that we've got. We also need to bear in mind all of those sides will be better than what we faced. 100%. And I think that's important, where it's almost like pause and take a breath, because it's dead easy, and I'm guilty of it too, and I'm sure we all are to an extent. You're numb before the game, just expecting a doing. You then win after that, and you're thinking, fine, I'll die, I think we can take something away.
That's it.
You know, a few days down, you kind of set back. What we need to continue to do is to kind of embed what he's looking to do, keep that discipline, bring back some of the key players, and we need to just hope that the moments of quality come in those games, because if you don't take those kind of key chances, we aren't going to do anything. Yeah. And we are still a bit short in some key places. So it's important to kind of bear that in mind. But we are where we are, and we'll kind of see what happens.
Just sort of, as we come to kind of round off Sunday's fixture, where does it rank in terms of, not in terms of performance, because I know that we've had far better performances, but in terms of a sort of standalone result for you, Alan?
I think it's a weird one, because it was, it's the first of the season, which, if you don't lay a marker down, you know, obviously we've been quite lucky with that in recent years. If you get a big win, it can be a statement victory. I'm not sure this is a statement victory for us. It might be a statement defeat for them.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we would look at it and say, look, that really, I think it's a case of where we played really badly and we came away with a 1-0 win. I think that kind of feeds into that. So I think it's positive. I don't think there's, I can't really remember. You sometimes liken these games to other ones you've been to or that you've watched or whatever. I can't liken that to any other game. I think people maybe pointed out the 2019 League Cup final, but that was an onslaught and that felt like this game fizzled out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I know that they had chances, but and watching it, I never thought they would win. I never thought Rangers would come back. No. I thought they might get a draw, but I never thought they would score two goals, because I just thought they were miles off it, to be honest. And as the game grew on, I think we get a bit more comfortable and they just kind of fizzled out. So I don't think it's going to be my pantheon of Ibrox wins, but the goal is special. there's a couple of moments I'll go back and watch again quite a lot, and I think I'll go back and watch them celebrating twice. I loved that at the time. I remember we were talking last year when they get the Champions League draw, and we said sometimes when you go to Celtic Park when you're a wee guy and maybe people going to their first Champions League games or whatever, or maybe going to your first Rangers game, the one thing you always want to do is get the opportunity to celebrate a goal. So the one thing Rangers fans can't say is that they didn't get an opportunity to celebrate an opening goal at Ibrox. So I mean, in that respect, I think Kyogo's goal was definitely up there, but the double celebration for what was clearly a foul, and a foul that you get 99 times out of 100, by the way. Yeah. And if it was the other side, it would have been given as a foul immediately at the time because it would have sold it. It's a close second, but I don't think it's going to go in my top 10 Ibrox wins.
Let's do the foul actually just now, right? Bring that up. So it's a foul. Can you be critical of Lagerbielk for dithering on the ball? Of course. If it hadn't have been given, you know, my focus would have been on Lagerbielk.
There's Ayer again.
Ayer. Christian Ayer. But it's a foul. And the one thing that people keep saying is, it's just a foul, it's clear cut, but people keep saying, but it wasn't a clear and obvious error. Well, yes it was, because he didn't give the foul.
I know.
He's seen the replay, and he's went, I never noticed that, I just seen, and then he's changed his mind. So people's definition of clear and obvious error seems to be kind of changing.
It's
like, he didn't see it was a foul and he's looked. Now, the only way it wouldn't be a clear and obvious error if he went back and he's basically went, no, that's what I've seen and I'm comfortable that that's not a foul. He's went and looked at the monitor and said, okay, right, that was a foul. It's a foul. No goal.
I love this. I think it may have been Ali McCoys or something said something Monday about the VAR assistant. He shouldn't have sent him to the monitor. And he's like, well, you would say that because you didn't want him to see it again and decide, oh, that's clearly a foul. You get that. See, me and my brother have always got this. When we watch games, we talk about, see this middle third of the pitch, the standard for a foul is much less than it is on the other two thirds of the pitch. The final thirds, the bar is higher, but see in that middle third, see any contact whatsoever going forward, especially for defenders, you get fouls in there that you would not get anywhere else in the park. And that is it. That's one of those ones. See, if Lagerbielk, to me, an experienced defender, one of the things I would be looking to him and say is, I hope you never find yourself in that situation again, but see if you do, fucking sell it, and sell it quicker than that. See, if you grab the ball there, you get a foul. Yeah. And people will go, oh, I shouldn't grab the ball. You almost need to, that comes with a bit of experience, and you just, when you know you put yourself in that position, you either don't just make the complete mess of it, either grab the ball or give away a foul the other way so that you've got some kind of deniability. You've got to do something. You can't just give the ball away and then kind of think, I mean, even Scales claims for it, which I noticed nobody mentioned, because they were saying, oh, Celtic players just continued.
Neil McCann.
Scales gets his hand up right away, but he doesn't want to just stop and go, I'm sure they will bring it back, he's got to play on. Right. So it's just, I found it just laughable, to be honest. You get that foul almost every time, and that's the exception. And I'm glad it did, because it worked out absolutely perfectly for us. So
it was, I mean, Neil McCann, it's been done to death, you know, but I don't agree with the rule. Well, say that. what he really wanted to say there is, that was a foul, but I don't think it should have been a foul.
No.
Instead of...
because of who I played for.
And that whole, by the letter of the law, or it's soft, a foul's a foul.
I also think you should be able to pick up the ball and throw it into the net in the last 5 minutes of the Celtic, but they don't allow that either, so...
Aye, it's just... laughable. That's probably a good sort of segue into the fallout in general. And again, it seems to be ever changing as well, because I think you mentioned, Alan, that when you thought they weren't ever going to come back into it on Sunday, I think the sort of point for me that cemented that was when Beal took off Roof, and I think the camera was on his face, and I think he genuinely looked shocked at the reaction of the Rangers supporters. And I thought that was the sort of point for me where I thought, oh God, they're really gunning for him here.
I don't know who their top scorers, etc. are and whatever, but I never really noticed Roof in the game. Look, it's not one of those ones I thought, when you see him coming off, I know that he had the one chalked off earlier in the game. Beyond that, I mean, he was non-existent. So no. It wasn't one of those ones when he came off, I thought, we've got away with one here. Whereas the Rangers fans seemed to take great exception to it, which, I mean, all the better. But I wasn't looking at it at the time thinking, well, I'm glad they've taken Kamar Roof off. I was thinking...
Aye, what's all the fuss about?
He's still on, is he?
Yeah. But, aye, and I think that...
To be fair to Roof, I mean...
No.
There wasn't much competition in terms of their other striking options, do you know what I mean? So it's... I mean, they were just
How many times have they
really been fair to Roof? I'm just actually slagging the other strikers. But
Dessers, see the one where he just keeps running? He's already 2 yards offside and he's still absolutely hoofing it.
Do you know, it's like... They just... It just seemed so pedestrian, do you know what I mean? And I'm normally quite wary of saying, you know, that because it comes back to bite you, you know, the old superstition and stuff like that. But there's nothing yet that you're seeing, you know.
Aye, from any of them, really.
I mean, Danilo, I think, came off the bench and it was a nice touch when he took it down and Hart came out really well and saved it. You know, they paid a few quid for him, it's early days, whatever, but... Dessers. He just looks not very good.
Aye.
He's got a funny name as well.
He has, and Lammers as well. See that one where he took it round Hart, and probably everyone's seen the still image from high up above. And like, it's like one of those, remember Question of Sport, what happens next? Like, mental.
Burnaby breathes a huge sigh of relief, would be my answer to that.
Oh, God, aye.
Spot the ball.
I think then, obviously, the fallout's been delicious in social media, and I think you made the point, Alan, that that's sort of become part of the whole experience of probably one of the good things that social media has brought us is because you find yourself still, even today, going through all the sort of meltdowns and all the people who had tweeted that this was the best transfer window they'd had since Walter Smith and what they were going to do this, they were going to do that, and then the same people... usually their names are like Carson or something like that they're called. absolutely crucifying the players. But Samari, bring you in.
It's because, you know, we went into that game fully expecting to be turned over, at best just beaten. I think I'll be frank, I thought we might have taken that, you know, conceded a few and it would have been a sore one.
Yep.
They went in fully expecting to do us, and the fallout from that just kind of ramps it up. It just turns it up even more. You know, you go into a fixture like that and you know it's going to be tight, it's 50-50 or whatever, you know. It's different. It's when you've got that complete confidence where you're thinking, this is in the bag, this is going to be a platform that we're going to move on from. And that didn't happen. So that I think that just turned everything up an extra notch, which is kind of... means you're still looking at it so Thursday, you know.
So what you're saying is that Liam Scales is a Trojan horse.
Very good, I like that. Yeah. In terms of the meltdown, then what is there any particular?
He sent me a wee smug look in his face for that one.
I'll see you next week, guys. Pleasure.
Smug is the word for this week.
As ever.
Any particular highlights
from social media?
Yeah,
I did like, and I do enjoy the gif now of the guy telling all the. I presume all the Rangers players to fuck off. I think that will get used.
Superb.
I think I'll be using that liberally quite a lot. I have to say there, just watching the footage of the 2.5 minute video of the goal from every angle is just great. And I think it is because of the soundtrack of it, is them singing about the famed captain. Who, if he doesn't score, is a liability, and that was the case on Sunday. So, that 2.5 video, it's very rare that Celtic TV or Celtic's official content would win it for me, but I think that does just because I love seeing the goal and it's got so much to it. That's a winner for me.
So, Matt, and we'll get a sort of subscribers or a listener's question asking the same. So, your favourite meltdown this week, Samani, what's yours?
So, you know, I can't really remember any of them on Twitter. I mean, because I'll be honest, I haven't really kind of. I've been on and I've seen some of it, but Neil McCann's is the. I mean, there's probably hundreds out there, and you know, you've caught me in a hop, and somebody else would probably be able to rhyme off more. But McCann's was. I still love McCann's just because of the history. Remember the rule book?
Yep.
And then do you remember? I remember Bowd put out a Photoshop of you know, used to do the photoshops back in the day, and it was McCann standing with his rule book, and that always stuck in my head. And it's just, you know, to quote the absolute letter of the law claiming something, and yeah, then to say the letter of the law is a load of shite. It was peak for me, especially I was sitting next to kind of Charlie Mulgrew on the, you know, on the couch, and he's just, you can just tell in his head, he's like, whatever, man, you know. And that was.
So I can play the. Do you want me to play the clip?
Yeah, go for that. Producer's going to play.
The law would suggest that if you stop a player's forward motion and they kick, then it's a foul. I disagree with that. And whether the law is there or not, I don't think that should have been given a foul.
So whether the law is there or not, well, it is there. You don't think it should be given a foul because you didn't want Rangers to not get the goal. That's great.
He's just got really bitter divorcee energy, doesn't he? Like, he looks like he's been divorced every day for the last decade.
Divorced from the Catholic Church, am I right?
I think one of my... I was laughing, obviously everybody will have seen probably the clip with Chris Sutton where he's standing beside Kenny Miller and he says Angry Bears in Kenny Miller's face. Do you ever remember the old Chewing the Fat sketch where it was a QVC one where he's got the producer in his ear?
I always
just imagine the producer, don't fucking say it, Chris. Don't say Angry Bears. Because Kenny Miller, he just get that look, and he has that wee look up as soon as he says it, and it's just great. See, when you win these games, like you say, Barry, it's almost like the 90 minutes of the game is dwarfed by the amount of hours of content you just get out of people's, what they spot on TV, and it's just brilliant. And it's been all week. I can't wait to do it again next time.
Aye, definitely. The one that I love as well, it's probably in the same sort of few seconds footage of the guy that you're talking about, the you fuck off, is the guy that kind of goes to tell him to fuck off, it just does a thumbs up.
We thumb.
So positive. Like. Just fantastic content, and as you say, it kind of, the fact that it's spilled into the international break, it must be hell for them, because they've got over a week until they play again, and it'll just be stewing away. And just sort of, last question on the game, or last bit, how long do you think Beale's got before the pressure ramps up? I think I suppose every game now is like a sort of, to use the cliche, a cup final for him, because I can't remember a sort of widespread opinion amongst them that they really want him to go. And as I say, it all kind of stemmed from that substituting Roof, and then after the game, the boos were incredible. I don't know about you guys, but see when you saw, because the cameras was on the Celtic team, and I thought something, I don't know, I just assumed that a Celtic player had gestured to their crowd, but the fact that the noise was incredible, I thought.
I genuinely wouldn't be surprised. I don't know who they play first in the European, but
I think it's Betis at home.
Betis at home, Tavernier will bang in a penalty. They'll be back on side.
Which is until, good for us.
Yeah, until obviously they'll fancy themselves in the cup, and they come to Celtic Park on the 2nd of January, I think.
Hopefully,
by that point, we could be looking at a similar situation to 12 months ago, and that there's just one too many defeats. We put them out the 2nd of January and then let them go through the cycle again of appointing, I don't know, an under-18s coach that was the brains behind the operation and then completely fucks it up for 12 months.
Things are after players.
It's each to their own. I think the one thing, not to take it away from, see when we've given ourselves, we've started, I think, quite poorly. We've got loads of levels to go up and we're only four games into the league. And we're 4 points clear. Right. I mean, it's a really, really nice platform to give yourself. I think there's a hell of a lot to do in the league this year, and I think there's going to be teams that are going to be better, and they're going to use the circumstances well. But you start to look at the fixtures, and you start to look at the ones, and it's like, guess who? You start flicking them ones down, and you think, do you know, it's a really, really nice, comfortable start to then push on from, and see if they drop points elsewhere. You don't know, but I think Tavernier penalty, they get a wee, Beale says something to throw a bit of chum or a bit of bait at them, and they'll be back on side.
See when you kind of position it against our start, that's why the pressure's even more kind of stark. I mean, put aside the League Cup defeat, because obviously that's not the league. We drew at home with St Johnstone that game before, went there with an injury ravaged side. They beat us, they're top of the league, you know, and it kind of kicks on from there, sort of thing. But now what's happened is we've had a really, really stuttering start, And the, you know, that opportunity, we're 4 points clear. That, see, when you actually think about it and you cast your mind back to how our form's been up until now, it's actually, it's outrageous that it's the 4 points at this stage.
Yep.
And that really does put a spotlight on him. And I've seen a lot of criticism, you know, obviously a year ago, Van Bronckhorst, you know, kind of out the door. And if you remember correctly, I think he turned up at Ibrox when he was still there. And I think they had, he had been on some sort of
program. So he did.
And he was talking about how...
Just tie on, I think.
Not very dignified, is it?
But he done, I'm pretty sure he spoke as well about what he would do if he was at Ibrox. So, I mean, that's... was undermining the then manager at the time. Of course, you know, they wanted him out the door at the time, so there wasn't a problem with that. But that's been highlighted now, you know what mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of what happened at that time. So he's in a kind of really tight spot here. He's been given money, he's bought the players in that he's got. We have not been good so far, and yet we're still 4 points clear of them. So,
is that smugness again?
Smugness. So the pressure's on. The pressure's on.
Definitely, and yeah. All in all, a wonderful Sunday, and as we've said, the sort of following days have just added to it, and it's been great. And normally, hate international breaks, but I think it's coming the perfect time for us in terms of getting players back, as we've mentioned. So, long may it continue. Got some news, rumours of a new contract for Matt O'Reilly, and I think that he's one that we haven't really mentioned too much with regards to Sunday, but I thought it was a sort of coming of age performance. I know that's maybe a bit extreme, but I thought it was excellent, sort of in the trenches with Callum McGregor. So thoughts on that, Alan?
Yeah, he was superb on Sunday, offered a lot off the ball, broke up play so many times, which as a real boost, and from the weeks previous, we'd been talking about Callum McGregor maybe needing a little bit of help in there, and he really did get it. I thought McGregor and O'Reilly, I thought they were both superb.
Yeah.
And I think in any other match day, and if you were just watching it with no understanding of who the players were, I think either of them probably would have got man of the match. I did agree with who they did give it to, because I thought that was fair, given the kind of circumstances and the context. But I thought he was great, and he has shown glimpses, I think, so far under Brendan Rodgers of improvement in the game. I still think he's got so many more levels to go up.
Yeah.
And we always talk about, and we've talked more so last year, to be fair, but we talked about his personality. He just seems so driven, so ambitious. So I think the challenge to him would be, well, push it on, be the star in, not that game, be the star in winning Champions League games. You know, be the star over 2-3 months, 4 months, because I think that's the thing we've seen. He's a young guy, and I think you can see that in his performances. So I think it's a no-brainer, to be honest, giving him a new contract. See if he's willing to kind of sign himself up, improve his own terms, you know, get an extra year or two on. I think that would be a no-brainer from the club should be looking to do that. And then I don't think it means he'll necessarily be here for that period of time, but it secures the kind of investment for the club. And he's been good to watch, and given that there hasn't been a great deal of positivity prior to Sunday, I think he's been one of the ones you would look at and say he has been a real positive. So, you know, if he's happy with that, then we are. So I'm pleased to see that.
Yeah, so man, it does make sense. And the fact that there was, I think we spoke about it last Thursday, there was heavily linked with two clubs in the Championship in England. So I think it's no more than it deserves.
No, absolutely. You want to tie him down. I mean, there's a mix.
Steady.
Well, no, he's very handsome.
He's a handsome boy.
Indeed. There's been mixed views on Matt O'Reilly in terms of kind of maybe some frustration in terms of maybe not kind of kicking on in the manner that we hoped he would. But regardless of whether or not, you know, people rate him, he is an asset. There is going to be interest in him, so tying him down is important for the club, even at a basic level of kind of being able to kind of get a return on him. Going back to the game in Sunday, for me, if you were kind of dishing it out, first half Callum McGregor, second half Matt O'Reilly, and I thought his, you know, determination, his work rate, he seemed everywhere on the pitch. I just thought he was absolutely superb, and it was something. You know, we always measure players on their performances against Rangers. See, until Kyogo last January, you know, it's hard to forget that I don't think he'd scored against them
You're right, yeah.
before this year. But from then on in terms of what he's done, it's been absolutely incredible, which you measure against them, whether they're good or bad or indifferent. That was a performance. That's the first time, I think, that he's had moments against them, but that was the first time I went, you've kind of really run things here a bit for us in terms of kind of dictating, keeping them out. So I think that was a massive milestone. And I do think, here's me praising our Brendan again, I think he's probably had a large part in that. He's kind of spoken about him. Matt O'Reilly's spoken about how he hated Ange, basically.
Amen, brother.
And I get the impression that he seems to be kind of thriving under Rodgers' approach. But again, you know, building that, give us more of those performances, do it in the Champions League.
Yeah, definitely. And just in that sort of midfield area again, Paulo Bernardo was a player that was secured sort of late in the transfer window. I think it was one of those ones that we knew it was happening for about 4 days, but we kept it quite late. Quite surprised that he maybe wasn't in the squad, Alan. I know that we've said that was maybe a good thing to protect him, but would you expect to see him maybe in the Dundee game at least being in the squad?
I would hope so. I think I think the manager's comments maybe on the pre-match, but I think would that have been on Friday afternoon?
Friday, yeah.
I think were maybe instructive because he didn't say, I don't think he was tying himself down to saying he is the quality player that I think we needed in that area, which I think we do. I think he's quite clear. We've talked about Callum McGregor and Matt O'Reilly. I thought off the ball, all three midfielders were really good in terms of shape, discipline. All three of them were great. But David Turnbull on the ball just really struggled. There is a real need for quality in there. The manager said as much himself. And I think you then seen that in that game. And it's not to criticise David Turnbull, because I think the discipline, the tactical shape on Sunday was brilliant. And that was everyone. But as the kind of, I know we don't play with a traditional 10, but as the kind of more advanced of the three, the player that's in there to make things happen, you need to be taking cleaner touches and playing a little bit more risky passes, and they're coming off, and it's just not happening. That's not to say it won't happen at some point this season, but in games like this, in Champions League games, I think there's a need for quality. So hopefully Bernardo, I know I did see that he's away with the Portugal under-21s, so I think he might be phased in a little bit. I think it does take quite a bit of learning, but I would be hoping that he is going to be a player we'll need this season, because we are lacking a little bit in that kind of more advanced area. But I know he can do a lot more as well. So he looks like he could be a good fit in that he's not a natural number 10, but he's not a kind of deep line midfielder as well. He's a bit more kind of mobile, a bit more aggressive. So I'm really excited to see him. I haven't seen a great deal of him, but I think that's an area that it was quite clear that we're going to have to recruit in. So I'm glad that we got in there, even though the kind of the last 2 days of the window itself were maybe a wee bit underwhelming.
So, Manny?
You've been quite nice to David Turnbull there, to be honest.
Trying to keep my irons in a fire, you know.
For me, he's had game time this season, and then obviously he scored the 2 goals against Ross County. Even then, I don't think he was particularly great that day. It's one of those ones where you can't be critical because he scored 2 goals. He's had game time. And again, doing Alan here, maybe later on in the season. No, I don't. For me, he's there to be replaced. We've got a real bit of quality in Rio Hatate that we know about, you know, to come back in there. Bernardo, though, he obviously might be somebody that's, as you say, it's broken in over a period of time. But you're really hopeful that he's going to be in there. And for me, if he turns out to be the player that we hope he is and we get Hatate back, David Turnbull's game time is going to be limited. And I don't have an issue with that. No. I think, I've said it before, I think last season was a massive season in terms of kicking on and, you know, the development. Again, referencing something said, I remember at the start of last season, both you and I said there ain't too much between David Turnbull and Matt O'Reilly. And I don't think that was incorrect at the time. No. Right now, though, for me, it's almost kind of like that year was wasted. He's not kicked on. I'm not entirely sure he's going to have a future at Celtic. He's going to go and have a good career somewhere. This sounds like the way we talk about Stephen Welsh and quite a lot of players. He is going to.
All the Scottish boys are not, eh?
Yes.
Interesting.
He's going to scoopy pass at another club somewhere else, I think.
Serie A.
For me, then be brilliant, and then we'll go. So I'll do it in the coaching. I just think for me, you know, he's not going to kind of be a mainstay for us, and I think his game time will become limited.
Yeah, I would agree. And as you say, Alan, I think the shape point's a good one, I think, because see if you were to sort of bird's eye view of the pitch at Ibrox, all the players would be exactly where they'd be able to see like the counters and the tactics board.
Yeah.
But in games like that, I don't think he's ever... I know he scored in the 4-0 game in the sort of corresponding fixture, but he's never really done much against them.
No, I think
Celtic jersey anyway.
I do think that's reasonable, and I think you can add in, you know, games at that higher level, that higher speed. I think it's the hardest area to play in when... For me, I think the thing is you need to be cleaner with your touches, you need to take less touches, and as a player in that central area part, you need to have almost a 360 view. Mm. You need to be that awareness, and I think it was the week before against St Johnson, he received the ball and he turned flush directly into St Johnson player. And I think it was just one of the ones you look at and go, that's not what you want to see. That's not what I want to be seeing before I come in here on a Thursday night and try and, yeah, you know, make a case. But I think just with the amount of games, I think given that midfield position, I think you're right, he is probably there to be replaced. But I still think there'll be more than enough game time there from this season. It's just, is it going to be in 3-4 months' time, is Brendan Rodgers going to be caught in David Turnbull and games like that? And I think probably you guys, I certainly don't think you're hardly sticking your neck out saying he won't be.
I'd give him the League Cup.
Very good. Another news today that Peter Lawell's been appointed as a board member and vice chairman of the European Clubs Association.
Can I just be the first to warmly congratulate him? And when I found out the news, I was absolutely thrilled.
Get my wee cake for coming back.
Yeah, anything on that, Alan?
Hopefully he's too busy to get involved in the next transfer.
Let's hope there's a big conference in from the whole of January. Well, if you can't attend.
I think it was in Berlin, so I don't know if he's hanging about. He could go up and see the Berlin Buckfast CSE. I'm sure he'd be warmly welcomed.
I'm sure Callan will have a nice...
Drinks on the company credit card.
Definitely. To add to the positivity this week, the women's team beat Bronby, and they will play Vålerenga on Saturday in the Champions League. So good that both teams are performing well. So
definitely
good luck to them. And looking ahead then to the Dundee game, I know it seems a bit in advance and I know we'll probably cover that next week, but it's a million miles away from what we perhaps envisaged we might be going into. I remember there was a sort of funny tweet that because of the way the transfer window had ended and with the injuries we had, said, oh well, we can really vent our frustration at the Dundee game. But you're hoping for that we've got players back, maybe the likes of Phillips would come in, Bernardo that we mentioned, Palmer as well. But as I say, it seems a million miles away, but it'll be around here pretty quick, Alan.
I think I'm looking forward to it. I do hope we score early. I think the one thing you'll notice is a significant difference in the atmosphere, because I think people have now seen, they now believe.
People, the doubting Thomas is no longer doubt.
So you might, if it's half an hour and it's 0-0, if anybody shows their disgruntlement, I think they'll be shouted down. People will have the boldness and the confidence to now go, the system works. Basically what happened in 2016 will come back to pass, hopefully. So I think it will be interesting. I think people will be a wee bit more reassured. I don't think there will be that same immediate distrust. I think they'll look at it and say that's a team that went and won at Ibrox. But I think what we're looking to hopefully see is real progress, real energy, enthusiasm, and I think just real quality in the final third. I think that's what you need to see, and whether that comes from, I know Palma is also being international duty, so there's probably limited time for a lot probably of the new guys. Given our record, it's probably best that he's away in international duty. I think what I'd like to see is just that little bit guile. The one thing we talked about a lot when Brendan Rodgers came back in was that when he's working with wingers, he has a fantastic track record, yep, both at Celtic, down at Leicester as well. We're kind of hoping that some of that magic can rub off on some of the guys we've got here, because it's an area that sometimes games have passed them by a little bit, the wingers. I thought they looked sharp and certainly off the ball great at the weekend. I've had some real nice moments of quality, but you need to see more of it. Wingers, I think, need to be more involved in the game throughout. You'd want to see them on the touchline, but then coming in off the line and, you know, kind of being more involved as well once they get that initial pass. So I think Dundee at home, I would be really, really hoping that we go and we see a bit more of the swagger, a bit of that confidence, and hopefully the players playing like they understand it a lot more, because we did see a lot of it off the ball at the weekend. It's just about trying to use the ball, because we'll have a hell of a lot more of it, and hopefully a hell of a lot more of it in the final third against Dundee. So be looking forward to that, because after that it's certainly no easy.
Yeah, the fixtures will be ramping up thinking absolutely. Fast. So, Mary?
Yeah, I'm actually missing it. I'm not otherwise engaged.
Oof, I wasn't interested until now.
We'll speak off here.
So, no, unfortunately, I'll be able to go to the game. But, yeah, there's a feel-good factor. We need to keep that up. We need to build momentum because, you know, we're fickle, you know.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, a week ago, if we, you know, we just need to kind of build on that. You want to kind of get score goals and take that forward. So that's really, really important. I think we will, you know, I'm not saying that we won't. It's just, obviously, it's kind of always caution about Sunday isn't the be-all and end-all, no. You know. We've enjoyed that, but now when we're starting to, and, you know, we can enjoy it until the next game. You know, I'm not saying stop watching the clips. but we need to build on it. That's what I'm clear about in my mind. It's because that was a really poor performance for them. And that was a real hammer blow, us beating them. But we need to kind of keep building going forward. You know, I just want us to get a bit of momentum. You want to string some wins together, you know. And that, I think that will kick us on and that will do that. Let's just start doing our talking in the park.
Yeah, definitely. And you're hoping that, excuse me, Sunday almost becomes the rock that Rodgers'
absolutely.
Second church has built upon. I was always happy
multiple
after coming back.
Owner, Brendan Rodgers.
I'll sign up. But no, I think you're spot on, because how often in the past have we had a big result? The one I always remember was see the Sammy Sunday, and we were buzzing after that. And I think the following week we went and lost at Fir Park, and there's probably notable other examples of that as well. So we really need to build that. And I think the fact that we do have a number of new players to come in, injuries to come back, that it's all sort of systems going.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to it, because I think if the result hadn't gone our way on Sunday, then maybe that trepidation would have spiralled into the European campaign. But now we go looking with lots to look forward to.
If we hadn't, we'd all been sitting here now, we'd have been saying they can shove their Champions League tickets, even though secretly we're all on the Hope Cup tickets game, right. So we're tied.
That's
in.
What I was going to say. Dear Celtic, I withdraw hereby from the Home Cup ticket scheme. Yours, Alan Edgar.
Whereas, yeah, now you're just looking at it and it changes your perspective a lot. So I'm glad. I'm very, very glad we won at the weekend, not just for the time it's gave us till now, but this would have been hard work tonight.
Definitely.
Fuck me.
Aye. And it's funny that the way the mood's changed. The weather's been better. It's been tropical. We've all received the new kit.
Big Pete's promotion. Don't forget about that.
We started firing the kits out early.
Aye. Just brilliant. So I think we'll end it on that note. Thank you very much, lads. I've been Barry Gallagher. Alan Edgar.
Thanks very much, Barry. That was superb. Great fun.
Thank you. So, Mary.
Terrific. Loved it. Cheers.
Brendan Rodgers, you have heard us calling the night. We will see you down the road.
Riley's header suddenly gives Kyogo a chance. What a brilliant finish. His old firm scoring spree continues. And how about the timing as well to really hurt Rangers in first half stoppage time?
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
That's absolutely dreadful.
I've come to talk with you again.
Football's meant to be an entertainment.
Because a vision softly creeping.
Barry, the cheerleader Ferguson.
Left its seeds while I was sleeping.
Hugely disappointing result.
And the vision.
It's been a rough week.
That was planted in my brain.
Really disappointed.
It's been a rough week.
Still remains.
The manager's got to resign.
It's been a rough week.
Really disappointed.
When was the last time Barry seen an entertainment game at Rangers?
In restless dreams I walked alone.
their law would suggest that if you stop a player's forward motion,
narrow streets of cobblestone,
then it's a foul.
Beneath the halo of a street lamp,
I disagree with that.
I turn my collar to the cold and damp.
And whether a law is there or not,
when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light,
I don't think that
split the night
should have been given a foul.
Touch the sound.
Well, you're a cheerleader, buddy.
Who's going to win it? The Celtics. Because there's no other reason why. The Celtics are the balls.